started. I'm ready to be hurt before the dear departed can have the final word. In a perfect situation, I'd have told you long ago.
Again, and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we're gonna get started today.
Yeah,
talking about in a kind of a different topic. We're gonna do a little retrospective thought about Egypt Station, Paul McCartney's album that was released in September of 2018. Looking back at how it's wearing, as well as talk about all of these new additions, the Travelers and the Explorers, and
yeah, Dave, you can't see Dave on the visuals. Obviously, this is an audio podcast, but he's got a double brimmed hat and a magnifying glass.
Yes,
we're gonna really dig deep into the Explorers Edition Disc 2.
Yes, with these new all these new tunes, and he's been doing, I think, a lot more publicity for this album than any I can remember in the past. And I wonder, you know, as we kind of get things started here, kind of setting things up here. When we reviewed Egypt Station, we talked about how the marketing campaign was really good in 2018 because he would drop a tune here and there and kind of build up to things. So then it built a lot of energy. So how do you view it, like, you know, looking at things now? We had the release, it did very well, and then it kind of faded out, and now he's got these two editions, and here we are 9 months later.
Well, I'm puzzled again by what I thought was initially a pretty good thing, in that the build-up for the release of the album I thought was handled really well, and the artwork for the album and that kind of thing. Then the album comes out. The album's a little bulky. Mm-hmm. Maybe now, in retrospect, too long. Yeah. A little unwieldy. And then, instead of getting, you know, how do you just generally feel about when we get an album and then, and you pay for it? Obviously, all of us are going to go get the album.
Yeah.
McCartney guys.
Yeah.
And then announce 4 months later is, oh, there's these other versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two different versions of it. Some guys who feel that they're diehard fans feel like almost a necessity to buy both.
Right.
The expensive editions. Do they give you enough more stuff? Is it worth it? You know, how do you feel about the whole thing?
As you pointed out, they're usually a lot more expensive, these deluxe editions that come out. So it's not like just a couple of extra tunes. Where I remember first starting, at least for me, was Bruce Springsteen had a box set called Tracks. And it was like all these unreleased tunes, live things. And I bought it. I love Bruce Springsteen. So it was great set. And then, so it's kind of the opposite of the McCartney situation. So you've got a four disc set, and then they also did a highlights version. So it only had like 15 tunes on it, but they added three tunes that are not on the four CD box set. And so it's frustrating. And what it does, it makes you feel like you've spent all this money, and it makes you feel not entitled, but like, not bad about downloading tunes, maybe not in the most legal way.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you've been cheated a little bit and you've already paid your money. So in this case, we had actually, even when Egypt Station came out, it came out in two versions, because you had the one I have, the Target version, which has Get Started Nothing for Free, which was not on streaming services, I believe, for a while. All you had was the regular album. So there's already a difference. So if you wanted those two tunes, because I'm interested in the music, I want the tunes. I'm not interested in all the extra swag that comes with it.
Oh, we're gonna get into
Oh, we'll get
that.
into that. I know. But so I feel as a fan, it's not very nice. Or when McCartney's done this before, remember with Flowers in the Dirt, with that cassette version that you had, like the, yeah.
Well,
Yeah, where do you begin?
there's a big difference to me between, like, in our initial release, we're gonna give you options.
Okay.
So I believe back in the day when that Flowers in the Dirt, there was, and I have the way up here on a shelf somewhere, I have the weird version, which has a bunch of posters and stuff.
Yeah.
But that was my choice. I was like, I could get the regular, I could get that,
That's
which
true.
had like Party Party and a tiny little CD
Yeah, I remember those things.
and
Mini discs. Yeah.
some other nonsense. And I was like, I'm going for it. I'm gonna buy that thing.
Yeah.
But that was my choice at the time. Oh, and then there's another big difference between, Who's Next just came out with
Yeah.
deluxe version, because now it's like, or the White Album or any of
Right.
these, because that's like, oh, we've been waiting years
That's
for
true. Yeah.
additional material, and you're giving us substantial additional material.
And it's old. It's from 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, this is just so problematic for me. Because first they announce the Traveler's Edition, which is this very high priced, I don't remember the exact price, but it was over $300. Extremely limited deluxe edition, with all these bells and whistles to it, but very little of the bells and whistles are music.
Right.
And as I'll read off to you, it doesn't quite make sense where the music is in there. And most of the, if you go to his website, Egypt Traveler's Edition new box set, there's comment section.
Oh.
Usually I would beg people never to go into any comment section, but in this case, it gives you a look at how confusing this thing is. I found the USB key finally, but can somebody tell me how do you get the Egypt Station 2 high-res audio material? Or,
Oh.
my copy arrived today. My daughter loves it. Going through the box, could not find the additional rare performances inside. Does anyone know where in the box they are? Lift the magnetic flap of the lid under the envelope. Like, if we
It's a
gotta
treasure
hide
hunt here.
everything, it's a treasure hunt. It's like you, it would. When your deluxe package that you paid $300 for becomes like an escape room before you can listen to the goddamn music, that to me is a problem.
Yes.
So here's all the things. I don't know that we may have listed this off before, but here we go again. Traveler, this is the
With
Traveler's
the
Edition.
suit, the one that came in the suitcase.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the top thing is there's a suitcase, and you think like, oh, it's gonna be a mini suitcase, mini size suitcase. Nope, big suitcase. So where are you gonna store that thing?
Take it on your next trip. Okay.
That's right. And then you get the vinyl double black disc pressing of Egypt Station, exclusive limited edition bonus vinyl pressing of Egypt Station 2 with three unreleased tracks: Frank Sinatra's Party, 62nd Street, and the long version of Who Cares, and the live version, the live stuff. So not even all the tracks that are on
Coordinated,
Egypt
no.
Station 2, but some of those are on a different thing. There's a Egypt Station concertina CD, a limited edition collector's Egypt Station blue cassette.
Ooh.
Dave's dying for that blue
I want
cassette.
that blue cassette.
HD audio of all tracks upon shipment. That's probably your wheelhouse. If
Yeah.
you're getting this thing,
That's the
just leave
best part.
everything in its wrapping. Get that thing out.
Yeah.
Additional rare performance footage hidden inside,
Okay,
whatever
great.
that means. luxury vintage style embossed Egypt Station artwork suitcase, exclusive copy of handwritten note from Paul, fold out vintage style illustrated map suitable for framing. You got your framed map up on your wall, Dave? This thing? Travel memorabilia, including travel itinerary, postcards, baggage tickets, and first class ticket. That's kind of cool. Luggage stickers. You going to use your luggage stickers? Travel journal featuring copies of Paul's handwritten lyrics. Kind of cool.
Okay.
Two Egypt Station, everybody's favorite, Egypt Station lithographs. A 500-piece jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
Egypt Station playing cards and additional surprises and rarities, whatever that means. So that's sort of la la la. That's it. But we want to make it seem like there's more.
Yeah.
So who's buying this thing was my question, but it sold out.
Yep. Just like the Wings Over the World or Wings Across, whatever that special box set was that had the early Wings CD that none of us have heard.
Yeah.
You had to buy that $400 version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that's, so, we didn't think that would sell out, and it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of us are going to get a version of that until, until like 2 years later when they decide, you know what, let's put that out as a single thing.
Yeah.
And then everybody who bought that thing is going to be ticked off.
Yeah. I spent $400.
Just like, and this is my big point here, everybody who did shell out for this Traveler's Edition because they got to get them extra bonus tracks, and maybe they want some of these. I don't want all this nonsense, but maybe they want some of the, you know, oh, it'd be nice to have a frame poster and this and that. Mm-hmm. Then to, after it sold out, to be like, you know what, we're also releasing the Explorer's Edition, which has two discs, and the second disc is just all the bonus stuff.
Exactly.
Without it, real clean and everything, it just seems like a little bit of an insult to the fans. That's my take on it.
Yeah. I don't know where the marketing is coming from here, because it's not. I don't know who it's targeted towards. I guess that's the thing. Is it people with a lot of money? I don't know. I don't know what the audience is, and people want to hear the music, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's not, they're not making it easy to hear the music.
And to be fair here, and like, we love Paul. We love getting this stuff out. I'm glad the Explorers 2 disc is out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like some of the bonus stuff. We'll get into that. And he's not the only person who does this.
No.
But for God's sake, can we, like, here's an idea. Save some of those bonus tracks and then give us a proper separate release.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the bonus stuff, or give us a proper.
Ah, I like that. Yeah.
Like when we get to, so there's four live tracks here. The only four live tracks he's ever going to play. Right.
From this album. Yes.
Three of which are still in his rotation, when he plays live now. So, and all right, we'd love to have those bonus track, those live versions, just so we have a historical
record of it. Yeah,
record of it. But you know, it's a little bit sloppy to me.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like frustrating.
Yeah,
I've got a solution. I'm gonna save the solution for the end, end of the episode.
Okay.
So, because I think it's more necessary to talk about the tracks first.
Yes. Yeah, and so think about also, do you think all this marketing and these additions and everything is a product of where we are now in the music business, or with the way other releases by competitors are, that they all do this kind of thing? Because like I was saying at the beginning of the episode, I don't remember anything quite this elaborate or having this many configurations. It's just kind of what people do now. Do you see it like that, or?
I don't know. I don't know to what extent everyone's doing something like this, but I'm always a little bit annoyed whoever does it. If it's just the same album coming out and it's a year or a couple years later and it's deluxe version, we're getting now deluxe versions of say, Wilco album from 10 to 20 years ago, or this and that. At least there's some distance with that.
That's right. But 9 months.
Yeah. 9 months later, and you've got the same album, and you're buying the same record.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, and while we're also being asked to buy, all this other stuff that we want, I'm a little bothered by it. So let's get started talking about the disc two, though. I mean, putting all that on the shelf.
Yeah,
we're gonna look at some of these tracks and talk about it. It's fun to do.
Would you like to talk about the album itself first, 9 months later, about Egypt Station?
Yes.
Kind of the original album and see, because I was spinning it the last couple of days here. I didn't play it for a long time. And just kind of thinking back on how it works now. So, and then we can dig into how these bonus tracks either help or hurt or don't affect the actual album itself. So,
yeah.
What do you think, kind of looking back here now?
Well, for one thing, to be very honest, I kind of sidelined this for a long time because it came out, and then not too long after that came out that White album set.
Yeah.
And we were digging into that for a while. I personally was.
Oh, and Red Rose Speedway.
Oh, and then, I was listening to Red Rose. Obviously, we did an episode on Red Rose Speedway, so I was listening to that an awful lot.
Yeah.
And so I really hadn't spun this too many times. Maybe, I don't know, maybe once or twice in that gap between listening to it so much when it came out and listening to it so much this last few days.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really do feel like I gave it a fresh listen here. And a lot of it holds up really well, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
I would agree, yeah. I was trying to think back to when we reviewed it, if my opinions had changed on any of the songs, and I don't think too much. I still don't like For You. I still think there's some filler tunes like People Want Peace and Caesar Rock and some just kind of Do It Now sort of extra tunes that are kind of weaker. But the tunes that I think are strong are still strong. And it has a good sound. I think the album has a good sound to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. I feel like there's a couple tunes that I sort of raised in my estimation. Everybody was getting after us over not liking Dominoes.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Much.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they had a point. Dominoes is a little bit better than initial, a little more subtle of a song, I think.
I'd agree.
So it grew on me. I forget what my take on Do It Now was, but I liked it. I thought it stood out here a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And on the opposite end, despite repeated warnings, kind of like I had initially thought it was really great. And now it's sort of like I think what bothers me about it is all the yes, we can do it. Yes, we can do it.
Yeah.
So but and then there's a couple songs like For You, we laughed about, it's no good and that kind of thing. And then I came up just in a shuffle and my girlfriend was like, God, I really like this song. I can see it. I can
it's
see
catchy,
it too.
Certainly.
Yeah. It is catchy and it's kind of funny. And, you know, if you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is kind of funny. Anything else I wanted to say about the album, I'll hold that till the end of the episode.
All right. So, yeah, we can start with, maybe we should start with the two bonus tracks that were on the Target edition, which would be Get Started and then Nothing for Free, since those have been out the longest.
Yeah. So, Get Started, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, you heard that at the beginning of the episode. What do you feel about that?
I liked it when it came out. I thought it reminded me a lot of Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. It had a very sunny feel to it.
That's funny because I was like, oh, it reminds me a lot of a couple tracks on Flaming Pie.
Oh, okay.
The World Tonight and Young Boy.
It's got that guitar sound.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I thought it was catchy. It was very one of the more Beatle-y or Wingsy type songs. It didn't have a lot of processing or a lot of extra material on it. There's a good lick in there, some good acoustic guitar playing. When you have the ooh, do 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 do, got some good licks in there.
Yeah.
So I like that when it came out, and I still like it.
And it's poppy sounding, yeah, but not poppy sounding like For You, no, and like some of the newer production type poppy. It's like classic '90s, 2000s Paul pop rock song.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So that was followed on the album and on the newer editions here with Nothing for Free. And this is another Ryan Tedder production, so we should check it out.
Okay.
Dave, so what do you think? Do you think that song is great or just okay?
I'd say it's okay. this has, yeah, the Ryan Tedder production on it. Very, got some processed items on it with the down synth sounds. And it really kind of reminds me of Under Pressure or Ice Baby. It kind of has that bass sound and the a little bit too close for comfort on that lick. But the lyrics are very generic, I think, almost completely forgettable. I know you need something, you're talking to me, you don't get nothing for free. I mean, very generic.
Yeah.
Kind of barely need to think about it lyrics.
You know what I think about it, Dave? I think I'm sorry, my brain stopped working today.
Oh,
hey, that's right. Joke, Dave.
That's right. Yeah.
My brain stopped working. My brain stopped working today.
Yeah.
I think it's not the worst. It's got a really odd bridge that I just don't think that bridge fits at all. It's like, I want to tell you what it means to me. Mm-hmm. That old thing.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like they're like really went off course here.
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, the issues are, you know, and the song, it's slightly interesting in that the topic is like, sort of like, I'm sure he gets asked all the time to do stuff and from what we know about him, he's his defenses are up.
Right, always, yeah.
Probably hard to penetrate the three walls he's got in front of him.
Yes.
So I'm sure any conversation he ever has is sort of like, you're trying to get something from me. I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the topic of the song.
Yeah.
So that gets the points for me. And you know, some of this Ryan Tedder production stuff at least is like, well, at least he's doing something different. At least it's unique. Other people, it just turns them off.
Mm-hmm.
Just like completely turn it like, no, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear Get Enough. I don't want to hear any of that type of stuff. So I can sympathize with that. But all right. Well, speaking of catchy, how about the very beginning of this next tune? which is so these are the newer tracks for you.
Yes.
Let's do
for you.
for listening to the. So you had already heard Get Started Nothing for Free. I hadn't.
Yes.
Many of us hadn't who don't shop at Target on a regular basis. So this one is called Frank Sinatra's Party. Let's hear it.
Frank Sinatra's Party. I didn't know this until doing a little research, but this is actually a very old song. It goes back to 1976, all the way back. Yeah, and so there was a website that has some of the original lyrics, and it really hasn't changed that much. So he thought about it back during the Wings days, and it says reggae feel on it, and does have that. So what's this about? I guess he's kind of a visitor to Frank Sinatra's house during the heyday of the 50s and seeing all these people like Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and the Rat Pack hanging out. And he's not the only
Angie
Englishman.
Dickinson, Angie of course. Dickinson, don't forget there. Angie Dickinson.
Yes.
East woman.
Yep, of course.
I like this idea, like, oh, I'm going to drop this hot new song. Yeah. let's reference some people in this. How about Peter Lawford? That'll get all the kids like.
Yeah, exactly. And also remembering a tune from 40 years ago, too, as well.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
It's
yeah,
like a, I'll it's put like it a fun. Spot of fun.
Yeah.
And it does, like, I think it does a good job of what it is, of like setting an atmosphere for a weird party.
Yes, yes.
That's sort of fancier.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a night party with a pool, swimming pool in Hollywood or something like that. Very California.
Yeah. Not too bad. No. Not too bad. Next tune, 62nd Street. We'll play that to go out. Yeah, lighthearted fun, makes okay album filler.
Yeah.
Nothing offensive. The feels good. I do like it when towards the end, they go to a double time with a bunch of the doot-doot-doos. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And the lyrics, what he had here was a great idea for a title, which is 62nd Street and a minute of your time.
Yeah.
But that's it. They
didn't go anywhere.
It doesn't do anything. It doesn't, like, why do you need a minute of the time?
Yeah.
What are we doing with it? Are you really trying to romance somebody? Are you really trying to, like, make them think about something? It doesn't get into any of that.
No.
So I don't love the peer. It doesn't paint the picture as fully as it should, but it is what it is.
My favorite part of this is the acoustic guitar counter melody. I think that's a good catchy lick, kind of swingy, a little bit jazzy. But yeah, I probably like this one. It's about a B. I'd give it a B, and it's got a good production, good sound to it. So
yeah,
I guess we have one more to get to, and then I'll have a question for you about the context of all of these.
Okay, let's play a little of that one. And that is Get Enough.
There was a time when we walked by the docks. I told you I'd need you all of my life. I'm watching the tugs rolling by. together. Do you remember? Do you remember the lights on the shore? How they reflected the rain on the road? I believe that you loved me alone. It was real. Do you remember? Now and then I see your face. I've been wanting a loving embrace. I've been looking for love, but it gets me nowhere. Oh yeah, yeah.
So, Get Enough, the song that was dropped on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I believe,
mm-hmm.
in 2019 of this year, and it probably is the most controversial and discussed Paul McCartney song in a very long time, because of what you heard there, the use of auto-tune, more known for hip-hop and rap artists and T-Pain mm-hmm. and people like that, so... Well, where to begin on this one? You want to take it, kick it off?
No,
here?
I think you should no! take it. No, go ahead.
Okay. I don't have a problem when artists try something different, and my issue with the song isn't that he's trying something different. I don't think that's the problem. I don't think it's a very good song, and I think he sounds really old and awful, and it's the beginning part of it. I think it's trying to be poignant. Do you remember the time on the docks? But it just doesn't sound good. I don't know. Just doesn't sound good. The one part of the song I do like is the kind of, not freak out, but the kind of instrumental section where it goes off a little bit. It works. But this one is a misfire for me.
I'm not sure the super processed modern production version of McCartney is the best. I'm with you there. But the song has really grown on me.
Mm.
And I think what I do like that he's trying these different things out. Caesar Rock, mm-hmm. this,
mm-hmm.
that are different. Where the production is the thing.
Yeah.
Rather than the vocals are the thing. Partially because he's losing so much of his vocal ability, that can we replace it with some interesting stuff production wise? Because this song on its own, if he just sang it clean, would be not very much.
Right.
But somehow the production, I think in repeated listenings, covers that up and makes it sound more poignant than it actually is.
Interesting.
So that's why I think that the dichotomy. Like, if you're just reading the lyric sheet, you're bored to death.
Yeah.
But it does kind of work. It's like, and it's like, it comes off, the tune kind of comes off as like an emotional song, and then goes to that instrumental part where it's sort of like exploding up, like almost like now he's flying in the sky. And
right.
And that'd then it collapses video. Back to just him and that produced vocals. I get it when people don't like auto-tune and people don't like effects on voices and just don't want that kind of thing. I at first I was with you. I was like, oh, this is almost embarrassing. And now I'm finding it being less embarrassing. And I'm like, guys, this wasn't even on the album proper.
That's
so
true.
Like, do we need to really like rake him over the coals for it? I don't know. What are we doing here? Like, well, let's, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're on this tune, only this tune. We might be a little, you don't like it as much as I do. I it's grown on me. I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah. As I said before.
In the right setting.
Yeah. In the right setting. As I said before, it's not the, because I think a lot of people really bothered by the auto tune part of it, and I don't care about that. It's more it's just there's nothing, there's not much in the song, and it doesn't do much as a song, and that to me is what I value a lot is the actual compositional craft of a song. So
the tricks and the bells and whistles are working for me right now. Now, 20 years from now, we could listen back to this and be like, oh my God, what a dated sounding thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be the case for many of these tracks.
Right.
Now we also got a,
Dave was
just so excited to get an extra couple minutes of Who Cares. You know what this brought up for me is whatever happened to the album version versus a single version.
Yes, I do remember those. Remember they would give you the play out version or the longer version, and
then that's edited. All this is.
It is, yeah.
It's like a little jam at the end and fun little tricky jam.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't affect the song really at all. It just goes on longer, so because the song really ends as you know it.
Yeah. Then we get these four live tracks from three different performances. Come On to Me, For You, Who Cares, and then Confidant. You know, it's a real I like their inclusion here just because it's a nice little snapshot of time.
Yeah.
This goes back one more time, though, to like give us one show. Maybe that Grand Central Station thing should have just been one show where he plays the whole album.
Yes. Yes.
That way we've got it for posterity. We've got, and then release a live version just for sale only on your website or something like that. And you can make your cash grab there, which I would like because I like live versions of tunes. I like to have a live copy of all that.
Yeah.
But instead we get just a few of these and crammed into the end of a bonus album and you're not going to spin it too much, you know?
Right, right. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing. So as you look now at these additional tunes here, not the live ones, but the actual extra tunes, would you want to play record producer and substitute?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, substitute
I've got
some
it.
Of these.
Well, now I'm looking. Now I've got the full. We got the full picture now.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this and I'm like, hey, Paul, you got two albums here. Two albums, Dave. Two releases. One last year, one this year.
Mm-hmm.
Two albums, separate albums, too.
Yes.
And maybe one of them's called the Egypt Station, one of them's called something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And here they are. I got your albums for you. And when I list these tracks, you're going to be like, oh, I see they're arranged in a certain way by a certain type of tune.
Okay.
So one of them is an album full of these a little bit more poignant songs, a little bit more personal songs, but it's sort of a more classic Paul tunes. So I Don't Know, Happy With You, Frank Sinatra's Party, Hand in Hand, Confidant, 62nd Street, Get Started, Dominoes, Do It Now, and then the Hunt You Down Naked Sea Link.
Ooh.
Are songs about, like, Confidant. Confidant's a song that's really grown for me.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And you know, these are songs about, I don't know, you know, songs about self-reflection.
Life.
And it's just like, life. And it's just a classic Paul sound. And some of them are acoustic. Hand in Hand's got a nice little piano song with some string. So that album would be 10 songs long and 38 minutes.
Okay.
That's an album. That's good enough.
That'll work.
And then your second album, is all of these weird ones. But together, if you just listen to them all together, you get Good Enough, Come On to Me, For You, Nothing for Free, People Want Peace, Who Cares, Full Length, Back in Brazil, Caesar Rock, and Despite Repeated Warnings.
Wow.
Now, this album for Dave might be a total throwaway.
Couple of, throwaways there.
It's only 9 songs. It's 36 minutes long. It's a little shortish, but it's all of these songs that are like, it's all the Ryan Tedder tunes. Mm-hmm. It's all the songs that are trying to be hits, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like more of a pop album.
And more unified in its sound, maybe.
Yeah, it's a pop album with some songs that are directed towards today's time, like People Want Peace, despite repeated warnings, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But and then all these lusty songs like Get Enough, Come On To Me, For You. So what do you think about that idea, Dave?
I like it. I think I'm going to try to make a playlist, make two playlists and see how those sound.
Maybe you can pad them out. Maybe if we got nine songs, we're like, okay, Paul, we got nine songs like this.
Yeah.
Can we find another, you know, I tried to shoehorn something from New in there or something. But you know, something, let's record it. Hey, Ryan Ted, we need two more songs. I've got a
couple of scraps here.
Yeah.
I think it could work, and it would be a better marketing strategy. I think it would sound great that way. So I will try it myself and see how they hold up. Because it would also get rid of that problem of having to buy all these different editions and this kind of piecemealing stuff together.
He gets publicity off the first album.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, another year, another in Paul McCartney album. Great. He's back to form. He keeps cranking out the albums.
Now we're in Morocco Station.
There are only 12 songs, but they're full of, you know, full of good tunes. They're real clean. They're real together. It was like one really big album, which was kind of exciting to get all those tracks. And it's not a bad album. I'm not saying like Egypt Station on its own is a bad album. But then this extra bonus stuff, some of which is pretty decent and might be better than some of the tracks on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Just use them all. Let's make two albums. Let's put them out.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that. I like that idea. And so MPL, if you're listening, take this suggestion. I think it makes a lot of sense. So, you wouldn't actually be, I'm wondering, do you think any of the bonus songs are better than tunes that were on the actual album? Or do you think they're all really just bonus tracks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're most of them are what one would describe as album filler.
Yeah.
But an album filler might really be like, if you're happy with you, like here's how I read it. I don't know, happy with you. Frank Sinatra's Party and then Hand in Hand.
Okay, that makes
sense. So it's like it's
in between.
Yeah, it's like, instead of Frank Sinatra or Happy With You and Hand in Hand, two sort of slow songs, then we'll pump it up with this sort of kind of fun tune. How many percentage of people are never ever going to hear Frank Sinatra's Party?
I looked on YouTube and the amount of plays from Paul's official page, I don't know if it was for Frank Sinatra's Party or 62nd Street, but it was only 5,400 views. For his official page of that tune. So that's not many. That's not many.
I know. So it's just, I think, I mean, what do you guys think too? Tell us on our Facebook page. Or
if you want to email us, you can email at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com. And what is your ideal Egypt station? Do you have a different idea? Do you have your own configuration? Should we throw these songs into the trash heap, or what should we do with them?
I mean, solution two would be you release Egypt Station, you keep these other ones on the shelf, and then, you know, once you get enough of them, there's a few floating around from New that sort of were on the bonus. The
Japanese
much weaker kind of deluxe edition of New, which would, you know, just some, once again, more live tracks.
Yeah.
You know, why not piece all those live tracks into a live album, by the way?
Exactly, which you could do. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then why not piece all these bonus tracks into a bonus album? You know? But I like the idea of this fresh album, because part of why Egypt Station didn't quite work was that we were thrown around on quality of like tune,
mm-hmm.
and it was like the tune's a lesser quality but a better production kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
So to put all those on one album where it's like sort of pop hit kind of thing.
Consistent
sounding, I think would be cool. But
the other
issue too is Despite Repeated Warnings and then Hunt You Down Naked Sea Link, both at the end of the original album.
Mm-hmm.
back to back these two long pieces.
Kind of dreary at the end.
They both kind of sound like end of albums.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
Like to have them in two different albums is
kind of
works a little
makes
better.
Makes sense. But. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, interesting ideas, and I'm sure, you know, Paul is going to do this again, or MPL will do this again with upcoming releases. We'll see if he has a new album whenever the next new album comes out. If this happens again, or
the fans are out there and they're buying them, and they're probably enjoying a lot of them. But I'm, you know, our money's valuable out here, Paul. let's give us a bang for a buck.
Yeah. So I hope that he releases the Jet Setters edition next of Egypt Station. So
that one's super fast though. Yeah. It's like all the songs that like there's five songs on it and they're played super fast.
Yes, it's really really upbeat kind of, and a couple of new lithographs and some more puzzles and stuff in there.
People want peace. People want peace. It's got a release. Yeah.
Punk version. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens here. But brings up a lot of issues in marketing nowadays, and also with what McCartney thinks are his best tunes or the tunes that belong on the album, which has always been an issue that we've talked about a lot and continues to be an issue. So who knows? See where things go.
Dave and I are going to go out now with a little bit of 62nd Street, catchy tune. And we'll be back real soon with the... I could not possibly be more excited to talk about an album than the next one we're going to talk about. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And that it's an anniversary of this album. That's mm-hmm. the only things we'll say. But we're super excited about it.
Definitely, definitely. So, in the meantime, enjoy going out here with 62nd Street.